Now, if you'd like to follow this reading, you can find it on page 1186. We're reading from the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. That's page 1186. And we're reading chapter 1 and the first chapter, basically, 1 to 10. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and the deep conviction. And with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And may God add his blessing and help us to understand that passage as well.
In the Christian faith, there's much focus on all that Jesus has done. He came into this world, the incarnation. He lived and he died. He was resurrected. He ascended to heaven. And we believe, we trust. More than that, we know, because we can encounter the living Christ, the one who did all of that, but who lives and who reigns today. But often, we forget that there's another dimension, another part to that. It's the part which tells us that Jesus will return one day. The Bible speaks of it. The New Testament mentions it. Many of those who wrote the New Testament came to believe that that would be the case, and Jesus said so himself. And that brings us to a word called parousia, a word which means the second coming of Christ. And that means that there will be a time when there will be a consummation of all things. There will be a time when God will wrap up the loose ends that we know in this world. When God will bring together the things which don't quite work and don't quite fit and make it better. The creation of a new world, a new reign, a new time. No one knows when that will be, and the Bible specifically warns against even trying to guess or gauge or even think about it. But one thing the Bible does do is encourage us to live in such a way with a view that God will return, that his Son will return. But not with a sense of fear, not with a sense of foreboding that will it be today or tomorrow? Will I be caught out somehow? That isn't the intent. The intent is to assure those who believe, and ultimately the world, that God has a plan for his world and for his creation and for his people. And that we can be assured that because of that, he does intend to return and make all things well. And so when we think of the word parousia, we think of the presence of Jesus and his arrival. We think of the presence of God and his arrival, not just at first, but also at last. And in between that beginning, and in between that end, and in the middle, and in the midst of it all, are we. And we can be all that he would desire us to be with his help. All because of what he's done, and all because of what he will do. Parousia, the second coming of Christ. The Christian faith can be described in many ways, but it can be said to have only three parts: a beginning, a middle, and an end. As God reveals himself and speaks through Scripture, we are pointed towards the first words of the Bible. There we find a description of creation, order out of chaos, something out of nothing. And so, whatever time scale placed on that process, Christians acknowledge that God's intentions begin at that point. But then again, it may be that the beginning predates even that, because God predates that event. And his intentions for all that we've come to know may have always been just that, the intention of God from whenever, a time before time. But then it's evident that the God who set creation in motion continues with that very creation, so that everything and everyone is known. Distance is no longer a consideration, for now there can be relationship and closeness, for God has revealed himself within his creation in a shape and form that we can know through his Son. Yet added to that comes a culmination, a time when God is revealed still further, when the imperfection of all that we know is brought to an end, bringing with it a new world and a new world order as Jesus returns. But the Christian faith is personal, and so in our own person there is also a beginning, a middle, and an end. At the start comes revelation, then acceptance, then belief, then trust, all of which must be and has to be centred on Jesus Christ, as all that he has done becomes recognised, and the reality of his accomplishment becomes real. Then comes ongoing progress, a lived out response to what's become known and what has been found, as the one who believes seeks to know the one in whom they believe, making that known in all manner of ways. That can be and is a lifetime's task, yet one that can be savoured as well as experienced. Added to that comes a moment of transition, a time when the one in whom we believe and follow is known, face to face, as we move from all that we know into all that is promised. And so the faith that we accept and the faith that can be known can be divided into three: beginning, middle, and end. Despite that, the question arises, which is the most important? Is it what we first experience and know? What we continue to experience and know? Or what we will come to experience and know? I found myself asking that question, all because I'm somewhere in the middle. It's a long time since I became a Christian, even although the effect of what that means still resonates, determining all of life since and all that it involves now. And of course, there will come a point when this life will fade away as new life beckons, no longer with restrictions of time and all that it means. But being in the middle brings with it challenge of its own. That can mean all manner of things to all manner of people. But I know that for me, personally, there have been several factors. First, I've come to this church as minister. I've left behind where I once was and where my focus lay, and now that is very much here. Second, I've reached a certain age in life, a mid-life point that can have its own effect. It's a time to clearly still look ahead, but also to reflect. A time to recognise that some possibilities might be no more, whilst others might still await. Third, has come changes to elderly relatives, who, so it seems, are all of a sudden no longer the people that they once were, and no longer able to play the part that has become familiar in the past. And so for me, amongst other things, all of that has had an effect. It still does. And I recognise all the more that many, at a similar stage in life or faith, might face all manner of challenge, much more than I. You name it, and that could be it or more. Or there could be a multiplicity of things, issues or difficulties, all fermenting at the same time. All of that has pointed me in two directions. The first is towards what Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. And the second, is the fact that Jesus will return. For that's what the letter to the Thessalonians states throughout, amongst many other New Testament scriptures. It's not that the beginning doesn't count, for Jesus died for me as much as he did for you, and that's something I recognise and give thanks for daily. It's not that the task is already finished, for there's a world to convince about Jesus. There's a destiny to fulfil and a ministry to be outworked. It's just that when you're in the middle, you need hope most of all. The hope that comes from all that being a Christian means. Meaning that there is purpose in it all, in everything. Difficult as that might be to explain to those who hurt or for whom life is not all that it could or should be, but all the more because of God's intention for those who believe and also for the world. Because Jesus' return, whenever that might be, can make life worth living now. And so, With that in mind, life becomes precious. Every moment, every day, every opportunity. More than that, people become important. Life is no longer lived through the lens of just me, who I am, and what I want. For Jesus' return has implications for all, as much as what he has done already. All of which leads to a place where no stone can remain unturned in life. For Jesus' return points us in the direction of care. Caring for others as much as for ourselves. It determines how we might respond to the needs of the world, whether it be local or further afield. It prompts us to say and do, to go and give, bringing with it a new found purpose each and every day. That's the response which ensured the Thessalonian church good reputation. That's what made their witness, outreach and ministry vibrant. Work produced by faith, described in Greek as the word pistis. Labour prompted by love, described in Greek as agape. And endurance prompted by hope, described in Greek as elpis. But that began by example, as well as by impartation. Paul, Silas and Timothy all played their part just as we can. We can be examples. We can nurture and encourage. We can take our place and play our part. We can speak and we can share. All in our own distinctive way, as God inspires. But then the Holy Spirit was enabled to play his part, as only he can, making the combination potent. One which could not be ignored, yet which had profound impact by all who heard and had experience of it. And for those who believed came the opportunity to overcome, to prevail in the midst of whatever it was that they faced. As the motives and motivations that so often determine life and living no longer held sway. All because of the prospect of Jesus reappearing, making life in the middle different from what it's been or what you might believed it to be. For no matter who you are or how old you are in the middle, especially if you're already a believer. And if that's true of you, then it's no accident. There is no mishap, no mistake. Instead, like the Thessalonian Christians, there's an opportunity to recognize who we are and where we are, all with the conviction, the knowledge and assurance that God is not only with us, he is coming again for us. That is certainly a help to me. And I hope and pray that it's a help also for you. Let us pray. Lord, whatever life means, whatever it involves. Whatever has not been, or whatever has happened, enable us to know you, knowing that you have already come, and that you will do so once again. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.